it and put on the floor, so that I knew it was in my hand. Do to her as if he would do. And then tell that others with her to be fed from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the road and forth. I agree to call Abram to tell you that he might be fruitful by her. I believe that just like a lot of believers today, take up the law not for justification, but as a principle of fruitfulness. The effect at first seemed all that could be desired. Fruit is produced at once. And it's only when God speaks in the next chapter, in chapter 17, that it's seen that Ishmael is not the promised seed after all. He can never be the heir. The immediate result was that Sarah was despised. You read that when Hagar saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. I believe that's the way it always is. Once we admit the principle of law. Although faith may still cling to barren Sarah, the principle introduced is nevertheless the essential opposite. Well, when Sarah complained to Abraham about Hagar's behavior, Abraham said unto Sarah, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." Now, Arthur W. Pink, in his commentary, has this to say about this, and I quote, "Abram refuses to accept the responsibility of Sarah's wrong and leaves her to deal with the evil which was the fruitage of her own soul. But observe how one evil leads to another. In wronging his wife, Abram now surrenders to her his position as head of the household." Unquote. Seems to me that Abram was seeking to bow out of the picture by saying to Sarah, "She's your slave. She's in your hand. You handle it however you see fit." One of my commentaries says that Abram was merely suggesting the natural solution to the problem. It says in reality, Sarah was still Hagar's mistress. That relation had not really been canceled. Well, the question is, in my mind at least, was this the correct solution? Was it Sarah's place to deal with Hagar, or was it Abram? I believe we mentioned last week that it was 13 years before Abram and Sarah got rid of Hagar. I think that 13 years is wrong. And after looking it up, I found it was 13 years from the time Ishmael was born until Isaac was born. Hagar wasn't passed out until Isaac was weaned. I don't know how long that was. It was at least 3 years, I don't know. But anyway, it was somewhere 15, 16 years, or maybe a little more, before we got rid of Hagar. And she ran away, she had to come back. And finally, it was Abram himself you have to cast it out with the sun. Well, Sarah tried to do what she could here. But when she dealt hardly with her, she said in her face. Now, Kenneth Taylor, in his paraphrase, in the Living Bible, has this verse this way. You have my permission to punish the girl as you see fit, Abram replied. So Sarah beat her, and she ran away. And I can't just go along with this, exactly. I don't believe that Sarah beat her. We read here that Sarah dealt hardly with her. And this is the only place in the Bible where this Hebrew word is translated hardly. It means to be tough. But it is translated humble and humbled many times. Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 and 3 says, in connection with the children of Israel, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Now the word humble and humbled, here in these two verses, is the same word translated hardly. In other words, now Darby, in his translation, uses the word oppress. Sarah oppressed her. But some way or other, I like Luther's translation the best. He said Sarah wanted to humble her, maybe such as making her live with the other servants and perform more menial tasks to make her realize she was being defensive. Well, anyway, it seems that Hagar was self-willed and independent, and she refused to accept correction, but she ran away. And we're not told what Abram and Sarah thought about this. Maybe they thought that this was an easy solution to the problem. At least, it doesn't seem that they tried to find her, bring her back. We don't believe that any effort being made by Sarah or Abram to bring her back. But however it was, this was not the end of the problem. Although they didn't go looking for her, someone did. As verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the river. Now notice it does not say an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord. Now this is the first time in Genesis that we find this phrase, the angel of the Lord. But after this we find the phrase many times. And in many of these instances, we find in the context that it was none other than Jehovah himself that referred to, the angel of the Lord. And I believe that most Bible students, at least, believe that the angel of the Lord here is Jehovah himself. That is the Jesus of the Old Testament. Anyway, it says the angel of the Lord found her. Now, I don't believe that he had to go searching for her in order to find her. I believe he knew where she was all the time. But I do believe that he found her in a spiritual sense, like we have in Luke 19 and verse 10. As Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." The God who sought Adam when he sinned and ran to hide himself found Hagar here, who is in trouble. Now we can always be sure that God is more interested in us than we are in ourselves. He never fails to see what's going on. And when circumstances are very hard, and we may try to run away and hide, but we're very fortunate if our daily steps lead us to a meeting with the Lord. Hagar, you remember, was an Egyptian. She had no place in the covenant that God had made with Abraham. She was a daughter of Ham. She was under the curse. But her slavery and her humiliation was leading her, I believe, to the grace of God. Now that she was with child by Abram, she was to come under the special grace of God. Now I believe that this brings before us a principle which is stated in 1 Corinthians 7:14. So the context is talking about a believing husband with an unbelieving wife, and a believing wife with an unbelieving husband. It says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." The word sanctified means simply set apart. The unsaved one and their children are set apart as sacred objects of the grace and mercy of God. I remember an old man, an old brother, he's long since gone to be with the Lord, but he used to say that he was sanctified long before he was saved, because he was being prayed for and witnessed to by a child of God. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And thy house. In other words, the rest of the household is set apart for salvation through the one believer. And I believe that the last three words of that verse, "and thy house," is just as much a promise as the rest of the verse. I believe it has to be laid on, hold of by faith in exactly the same way as the rest of the verse. Well, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Now this fountain of water is called the well in verse 14. I believe this fountain of water would speak of the Word of God. It was in the wilderness. And the wilderness was a place of testing to Israel and also to the Christians. Remember, it was to humble him and to prove what is in his heart. we had in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. It is by this fountain in the wilderness that God revealed himself to Israel. As Arthur W. Pink points out, that it is not amid the gaieties or the luxuries of the world that Christ is to be found. It is not while the soul is enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season that the Savior is not there. It's by the fountain of water, the Word of God, in the wilderness, the place of test, that the Lord meets with the sinner and where the needy one finds the Savior. So it was by the fountain of water in the wilderness that the Lord revealed himself to Hagar. Now over in verse 13 of our chapter, it says, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, As I also here look after him that seeth me. Now it seemed to me from the language of this verse that Hagar here came to understand and to put her trust in the God of Abraham. Now our verse says this fountain was in the way to serve. And if you have one of the new Sophia Bibles, you can find this way to serve on map number 2. That's the book. Also, it shows the wilderness of Sir, and it's in the northern part of the Sinai Desert. You'll notice there that there's a road, it looks like a road, that runs from Jerusalem way down to Egypt, all the way to Sir. The word Sir means to wall. Smith's Bible Dictionary says it was a place just outside the eastern border of Egypt. So evidently, Hagar was on her way back to her homeland. But she never got there. The angel of the Lord found her first. Turned her back. Well, may the Lord find us at the fountain of water as he did Hagar. And may the hours of it was hers to see and to hear him.